It's 7 o'clock and time for Minds Over Matter. Dana Rodriguez, Jerry Nachman, and Lori Fisher will match wits with listeners on the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Our telephone number is 841-4134 in the area code 415-841-4134 with your answers and questions here on Minds Over Matter.
Why don't you swing them jingle signs?
Ladies and gentlemen, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Kevin. You did that perfectly. And welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. It's just a day before Christmas Eve, so we hope you are in the mood for our show, which, after all, is nothing without you, because we are an audience participation quiz program and a very mixed religious group. So, but we will do our best to bring you a few Christmas questions. And we hope you will join us at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, again, that's 415-841-4134. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, it's one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. We don't read them during the show, but over the course of the week. It's always great to hear from our listeners, so feel free to email us anytime. And if you would like to hear our show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the known world, even Santa at kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it would be available afterwards, or one of our older shows is also available at kalw.org. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. Here's the first. Jerry Nachman is at work on an ecumenical song, The 8 Days of Hanukkah, which begins, "On the first day of Hanukkah, my true love gave to me a latke in a pantry."
Excellent.
Very nicely done. Wow. Very nicely done. Okay, the bad news. As soon as he found out that the world did not like him.
Try that again. Yeah, talking to the mic. It's only been 19 years.
He's a rookie.
I'll try that again.
All right, all right.
Okay, the bad news, as soon as he found out that the world did not come to an end, Lori Fisher realized he had a whole lot of holiday shopping to do.
It's exactly the same as mine.
Well, I have more.
Wait, right. He's not finished.
All right.
The good, the bargains to be had at those post-apocalyptic sales are not to be believed.
It's true. And in order to save money, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, put off buying presents until after he was sure the world was not ending.
Damn those Mayans.
I know. They're wrong again.
All right. We'll begin with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. This is my only Christmas question today. Why do zoologists believe that it is likely that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is a female?
Must have something to do with the red nose. Yes.
No, it does not have anything to do with the red nose. End of clues.
Yeah. I take it that's your Christmas question because you pulled it off the calendar on December 24th, so...
I said this is my only Christmas question.
Yeah, although there should be one tomorrow, too, actually.
No, I just make these up. What are you talking about?
Okay, fine. Well, let's see. I read something that when I was looking at trolling the internet, looking for questions the other day. That it seemed like most of Santa's reindeer were actually female. I can't remember
what?
The reason that they gave.
Their names. No, Rudolph.
Though I did find out that the red nose was a result of some parasitic infection.
Of course.
Which I wasn't aware of.
Which only females got, perhaps.
So let's see.
Ingesting too much mistletoe.
Yeah. Okay. Does it have something to do with the antlers?
I'm not giving you any more clues.
Well, I'll say lack of antlers. Or shorter antlers or something like that.
Well, you're almost there.
I know I'm almost there.
Be more specific, sir.
I don't think I can get more.
Does Rudolph, when she is depicted, she has no antlers?
What?
Is it how they're depicted when...
Well, in the TV special...
We're basing this
which
on
I'm basing
TV
all
special.
My information on. Rudolph was, just a little reindeer. Well, that came later in the show. But no, that's as far as I can go.
Okay, well, that's close, but I'll see if the listeners can come.
All right, why don't
closer.
You repeat the question?
Okay, why do zoologists believe that it's likely that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is a female?
All right. And Lori, why don't you go ahead?
I have a 12 Days of Christmas question, okay? And one thing is, what are the 12 Days of Christmas? When do they start and end?
Oh, very
it's a little
good.
Tricky.
Usually Jerry asks this question.
Oh, he does?
No,
yeah.
I don't. No,
yeah, last year you did.
We'll see if he remembers.
How much everything would be.
No, that's the next how part. Much. That's
well, I'm getting to that. The next part is, if you bought all the presents for your true love, how many different presents would you be buying, and what would they cost this year? So what are the 12 days
I
of
need
Christmas?
A calculator
it's
for
364.
This.
That's correct.
Yeah.
One fewer than the amount of days in a year, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
364 is the answer to what?
Is that how many presents you'd be buying?
Yeah. Because you'd be buying 12 partridges and a pear tree, you'd have to buy
that comes up to 94.
364.
Yeah.
How does it get that high?
Well,
it's only 10 days of milking. That's only 10.
But you're buying them 9 different days.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. There's a lot more.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So then how much does the Consumer Price Index say they'll cost this year? And what are the 12 days of Christmas? When do they start?
That is usually my question about the cost. I didn't see the answer to that this year.
All right.
But it's really up there. It's about $25,000 last year, I think.
It's not correct. It's
more
than that.
More than that.
All right.
Because remember, you're buying 364 gifts.
Yeah.
I'm going to say $63,000.
It's higher. Let's leave it out there for
all
that.
Right. All right. Ron, to repeat it.
So what are the 12 days of Christmas? When do they start and end? And what's the significance of that? And there are 364 gifts. If you bought them all, what would they cost this year based on the Consumer Price Index?
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Good afternoon, City.
Hello.
I got a couple of questions, Christmas questions.
Yes.
The first is, what was the first animated Christmas special to have a soundtrack album?
Well, I watched my childhood favorite Christmas special last night, which was Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol.
No, that didn't have an album.
That did not have an album.
So the first TV Christmas to have an album.
The first animated special.
Animated.
Frosty the Snowman?
No, before that.
Before
Frosty.
Is that after? How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Around the same time.
How about Frosty the Snowman?
You said that.
Oh, you said that. I should listen.
Not Frosty the Snowman, not How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
It's one of the last question you were
about. I think Kevin's right. Yeah, Kevin's right. Is it the Peanuts, the Charlie Brown Christmas?
No, those are before that, I think.
Okay. So...
Rudolph.
Not
yes, give yourself
Rudolph
a
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Okay.
All
right.
Here's my second Christmas question. What was the only Christmas film ever to win an Oscar for Best Score?
Based on songs or based on a soundtrack?
Not a musical, just an original score.
Okay. Can you give us a decade?
Oh, 60s. I'll give you a clue. One of the actors played a role in another film.
That's
not much of a clue.
Gotta give us more than that.
It won an Oscar for Best Score. The only animated.
Yeah. Not animated.
No, he didn't say animated.
Only Christmas.
Okay.
It's a dead giveaway, though. The act that also won an Oscar for Best Actress, who won tie with another honoree for Best Actress.
Not a dead giveaway. I don't think so.
60s. 60s. And it's a Christmas, but it doesn't have Christmas in the title. 60s
Christmas movies.
Of course, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians is in the 60s.
Well, that had a good score. Didn't win.
60s.
Late 60s.
Late
60s. Oh.
Yeah. Christmas.
60s. Got an animal in the title.
No, I don't know. Sorry.
You don't know?
No.
Lion in Winter.
Oh, that does take place at Christmas time. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Part of the holiday cheer.
Catherine Hepburn won an Oscar for Best Actress. She was tied with Barbara Streisand.
Right. Right.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. And, all right. Let me do a couple of questions here. Let's see. All right. Now you just have to take the question at face value. And I'm not going to give you any more information than this. Who is the handsomest man in the world? And is this, who is the handsomest man in the world who is also soon to be Time Magazine's Man of the Year? Who is the handsomest man in the world who is also soon to be Time Magazine's Man of the Year?
Person of the Year.
Person of the Year.
Person of the Year, excuse me.
So well, it would be Barack Obama.
No.
Soon to be? What do you mean? You have some advanced information?
You mean like in
2013?
I can't give you any more information except that it could be tongue-in-cheek.
Oh.
So who is the handsomest man in the world who is also soon to be Time Magazine's Person of the Year?
So I'm going to guess it's not you.
That it's not me.
Too tongue-in-cheek even for you.
I think I came in at number 4 or 5 this year.
Soon to be?
Yes.
Well, you can't...
Is there a pun in here someplace?
There's no pun. There's no pun. It's tongue in cheek,
but no
there's
pun.
No pun.
All right. This is one word.
This was released as a news flash, by the way, just to let you know.
It's like an onion item.
No, not an onion item. It was released in all sincerity as a news flash. Yes. Who is the handsomest man in the world who is also soon to be Time Magazine's Person of the Year? And this was released as a serious news flash.
Oh, but incorrect.
But incorrect.
Ah.
Well, I don't know if it's incorrect, but we'll see.
Well, we know who the man of the year is.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess it was that part of it.
Definitely was incorrect.
Who's the handsomest man of the year?
This comes from somebody like...
Channing Tatum.
No. So again, this is tongue-in-cheek, but it was originally released as quite a serious news flash.
Too tongue-in-cheek for this book.
Who is the handsomest man in the world who is also soon to be Time Magazine's Person of the Year? Okay.
That's a good one.
And second question. Who is the only Academy Award-winning best actor to have ever played Santa Claus in a film?
Again?
Okay. Who is the only Academy Award-winning best actor to have ever played Santa Claus in a film?
Well, that's a good question.
Edmund Gwenn.
And this person really played Santa Claus, and that was the character this person was playing. Edmund
Gwenn.
He was never best actor.
No, not best actor.
I thought I meant best supporting actor.
That was best supporting
has
actor.
Has to be best actor.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who's the only Academy Award winning best actor to have ever played Santa Claus in a film?
Yeah, and then you're saying that was his character. He didn't dress up as Santa Claus to be an undercover cop or something.
No. So, there you go.
That's good.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Fred. Happy holidays.
Hey, thank you very much.
Hey, Fred.
I need a Jewish connection as either the major performer or songwriter on the following Christmas carols or classics. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
White Christmas.
Irving Berlin.
Right.
Written by whose original name was what?
Beline. Israel Beline.
Israel Beline.
Okay. How about this? Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow.
Julie Stein, Semicon.
Good, good. The Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on the
Mel Torme
and Bob Wells.
Bob Wells, you guys are good. Silver Bells.
That's Livingston.
Jay
and
Livingston
Evans.
And Evans yeah. Livingston, also Jewish, I think.
And the most popular performing. Artist.
Of Silver Bells?
Yeah.
Also Jewish?
Yes.
Oh.
Performing artist of Silver Bells?
That's what he said.
Mm. So Bob Hope is the one that introduced it.
Tony Martin?
No. More current.
Justin Bieber?
No. Less current.
Oh, he's not Jewish, yeah.
Oh, wait. Barry Manilow? Barry Manilow?
Instrumental.
Oh, instrumental.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, instrumental on the...
Richard Marx.
No.
Who's that?
He's a clarinet. Or what does he play, the clarinet?
Oh, Kenny G.
Or saxophone.
Kenny G.
Yeah, Kenny G.
Is that right?
Yes.
Good job. Good job, everybody.
Kenny
G.
What's Kenny G's name?
Jolly Christmas.
What's that?
Holly Jolly Christmas.
Grow Lives.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, no, but who wrote it?
Oh, who wrote it?
Johnny Marks.
No.
Johnny Marks, who also wrote what else?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah.
Go on.
Oh, yeah.
And something else?
Did he write Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Oh, right. Okay.
One more. One more by Johnny Marks.
Oh, one more by
one
Johnny
more?
Marks?
Oh, he wrote a ballad, a famous ballad, not a Christmas song.
A Christmas song.
Oh, Christmas song.
Frosty the Snowman?
No, but something about bells.
Silver bells, the bells of St. Mary's.
Bells. I heard bells. No.
I heard
Christmas bells. No.
Exactly.
Is I heard the Christmas
Sometimes
bells?
I heard the bells on Christmas.
All right, I heard the bells.
He
on
wrote
Christmas.
That too,
okay.
Huh? Wow.
Yeah.
All right, nice Jewish
okay,
boy.
Thank
you very much.
He sure milked
Thanks,
out
friend,
didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, definitely. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, me, okay.
Yeah, you.
I think I have the answer to that. What is the official cost of the 7 days of Christmas?
What do you have?
12 days.
12 days.
Yeah. 12 days, I think. Yeah, I think that's about $104,000.
That's very close.
Good job.
I read $107,000 this year. Very good.
But they're way off base because they don't count the pear tree.
Well, in my stats, they did count both the partridge and the pear tree. What was the most expensive item on the list?
What are pear trees going for these days, by the way?
By the way, I have it.
The most expensive one? I bet that the Lords of Leaping.
The Lords of Leaping are pretty expensive, $4,700. The pear trees are $190 each.
The Lords of Leaping, are those actors you hire? Or
I think
actual,
so.
Not real.
Yeah, how did they
union.
Figure that out?
Well, on most of them, they go to the union. They get drummers drumming and pipers piping.
Okay.
I don't know where you get Lords of Leaping. But the most expensive one, by the way, is the swan. A single swan's $1,000.
Oh,
more
right?
more than a Lord of Leaping, yeah.
I had to talk to Petrillo about that.
Yeah.
And
okay, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What do the following three have in common?
A what?
What do the following three have in
oh,
common?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Martin Scorsese, Colin Powell, and Elvis Presley.
Martin Scorsese, Colin Powell, and Elvis Presley. What do they have in common? Is it something Christmas related?
I'm afraid not. Does that put me out?
Not at all.
Glad to have you.
can you break it down and just give us maybe a little more to work with?
Well,
is it a person?
I suppose you would say it was related to religion.
Powell Presley. Who was the first again? I forget.
Martin Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese.
Colin Powell and Elvis.
Religion. Wow.
Were they all Baptists? No.
No.
No, Scorsese is Catholic.
Catholic, yeah.
That was Kevin.
I have no idea.
No, I don't know how to approach this. Let's see. Is it anything for any award that they won?
No. I mean, they might have won some of the same awards, but I can't think what they would.
Yeah,
I can't either.
I was just wondering, like a Grammy,
were they
maybe
all,
a Grammy
were
or
they
something.
All made deputy drug agents by Richard Nixon?
Oh, that's good.
No, but you're getting closer.
Oh.
But that's not religious.
No, that's not religious.
No, that's true.
Are they universal life ministers? I wouldn't think
not
so.
Not to my knowledge.
I think Colin Powell spends his time. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you got us on this.
Pardon?
Yeah, I think you have us. We don't know.
Okay, they're all former Shabbos Goyim.
Oh, Shabbos Goyim. We have to explain that to the audience.
Okay.
Or maybe Lori can.
No, I'll let the caller.
They provided services to Jewish congregations, and I'm sure there were different congregations on the Sabbath so that they didn't have to do these things.
Excellent, excellent.
That's
question.
Like a designated driver.
Presley? Presley did this? Really? Wow.
That's interesting.
Elvis had many talents that were just like that posthumously.
He did.
He didn't want that one to get out.
So Elvis couldn't leave the building then, could he? All right.
Very good.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, happy Christmas.
All right, you too. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Kathy. Am I on?
You are.
All right. 12 days of Christmas?
Yes.
The days between or including Christmas and the Feast of the Epiphany.
excellent work. It starts on Christmas and ends at the Epiphany, about January 6th or so, depending.
Okay.
Thank you, Kathy.
Well, unlike everyone else, the nuns beat that into.
Well, that was very good of them.
Not severely, I hope.
Well, it paid off all these years later.
Yeah.
Happy Christmas.
Thank you so much.
So you start giving gifts on the first day of Christmas.
And, Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, well, we all know that Superman's dad was Jor-El.
We do.
J-O-R-E-L. But what was his mother's name, and what was her job?
On Krypton?
Yeah, on Krypton.
Okay, his real mother, not his...
not his adopted mother.
So
yeah.
Jor-El was the... Mrs. Kent. The Jor-El was the father, then Molly Goldberg was the mother. Who was the mother's... Yeah, they did have a... The mother did appear in the movies, and I never read any of the comic books, but she was in the... She did make like a little brief appearance in a couple of the movies.
In the first, the Marlon Brando, Jor-El movie?
I think, yeah.
I don't know what Jor-El's father did for a living, do you?
They had a little mom and pop.
He was a secondhand furniture dealer.
Scrap metal.
Yeah.
Kryptonite. Minerals.
What was the mother's name? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. And she had a livelihood.
She did. She had a livelihood.
Oh, she made a living.
Yeah,
she was comfortable. Huh?
Yeah.
All right, fine. She had a living. Okay. No.
A caller will know this.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sure.
Okay.
Jerry spent many hours as a youth probably reading the Superman.
I did.
Comic book, so
I
he
did.
Would know this.
I did.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, me?
You.
Wonderful. The soon-to-be Time Man of the Year is Kim Jong-un.
That's correct.
North Korea.
Yes.
Really?
Who is also the handsomest man in the world, by the way.
Who anointed him that?
Well, the second handsomest.
Who anointed him that?
The North Korean news agency announced that, on all seriousness, that he was the handsomest man in the world.
And that he was going to be named.
And he was also bound to be the
Time Magazine. That's quite a
Time
news. That's quite a news agency.
Good producer, yes. Yeah, very friendly.
The Onion is more reliable.
Of course, they also said that his father made a hole in one. I think 8 or 9 holes in one the first time he played golf. So yeah, so take it
seriously.
Yeah.
Superman's mother is Lara.
Yes, Lara Lorvan. Very
Lara.
Good.
Wow.
Do you know what she did on Krypton?
No, I think she was Jor-El's lab assistant.
She's the face on a misty night.
No, she was not a lab assistant, but Lor-L-O-R-V-A-N. Very good.
So it started his series of loving women with LLs, right? Lois Lane.
Oh, very good.
And Lana Lang.
He was addicted to,
He was addicted to the double
so
L's.
You don't know what she did. She was not a lab assistant.
You've delved into the psychology of this.
Okay, that's good.
Deeply.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Yes, Kim Jong-un is officially the handsomest man in the world, just so you know.
Well,
all right.
We all knew
so
that.
So just give up your quest. That's my advice. And let's see. Lori, go ahead.
All right. I think my favorite Christmas movie is White Christmas, so I have some questions about that. I'll half recuse you, depending if you know
what does
them
that mean?
Or not. Well, we'll see.
I can only have half an answer?
Okay, it was nominated only for one Oscar, which it did not win. Ooh. This is the great White Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Rosemary Clooney is in it, okay? And when they made the soundtrack to put out as an album, she was prohibited from being on it because of her contract. So who replaced her on the soundtrack album for the movie?
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
And so now you can answer. And the third one is, in the movie Vera Allen Doesn't Sing, who dubs her voice in the great song Sisters? Who sings the duet with Rosemary Clooney? Yeah, I was reading about this today.
Anita Ellis?
No. So what?
She did a lot.
Nominated for one Oscar. What was it? That didn't win. On the soundtrack, Rosemary Clooney was not allowed to appear. Who did? Another very famous singer. And then who dubbed Vera Allen's voice in the Great Sisters song?
Two questions. Was the person that dubbed Vera Allen's voice known as only a voice artist, or somebody as well who appeared on the screen as well?
The latter. She appeared on the screen
so
as
well. So she's known as an actor in her own
right.
Quite
well known. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
It's not Rosemary Clooney, is it?
It is. She dubbed her own voice.
Really?
Right there. Give yourself a bow. That's it. Isn't that great?
Good.
That's
next
very
time
interesting.
I see it, that's really great.
So she dubbed Vera Allen's voice.
Yes. But then her voice was replaced.
Is that why she couldn't?
No, it was
because she was under contract to Paramount. She was a different record company.
Yes, yeah. Okay. And one of my friends who I asked about this said he had the album as a kid and remembered who was on the cover. The one who replaced her picture was on the cover.
That's interesting. Now, okay, was this person, who took over Rosemary Clooney's role, was this person known as only a recording artist or an actress too?
This person is almost only known as a recording artist, although I think she was in one or two movies, I think.
Margaret Whiting.
No.
Okay.
But you're in the right ballpark.
Yeah. Anna Maria Alberghetti.
No.
She's better singer than
Anna Maria Alberghetti. And many people think of her as a great singer.
The one who was on your hit parade, Jack Benny's protege.
Dorothy Collins. Giselle McKenzie.
Not Giselle McKenzie.
Dorothy Collins.
Not Dorothy Collins.
All right.
All good. You're in the right decade.
The right
for
era.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and very famous. And many people adore her, including
me. That's interesting.
Oh. And then the Academy Award nomination as well.
Adore her.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We hope you're having a wonderful Christmas holiday. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134 for a question or answer. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, Dr. Professor Teacher Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on KALW, your local public radio station at 91.7 FM. Yeah. So, okay.
No doctor.
Yep. Sorry. It's an honorary degree, I guess. Do that too.
Yes. Well, thank you for
all
that.
Right, and
sir.
Sir. Yes.
To sir with love. Yes.
The Honorable Lori Fisher.
Sir will do.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Janusz.
Hi, Janusz.
I was beaten to the punch on King Jong-un. But I would like to elaborate, if
yes.
I may.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have asked a question no one would be able to answer, which is, what is the one adjective left out of the North Korean news agency's pickup verbatim of the Onion article? But I'm not going to ask that.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you that the Onion said, with his devastatingly handsome, round face, his boyish charm, and his strong, sturdy frame, this Pyongyang-bred heartthrob is every woman's dream come true.
Wow.
Etc. And the one adjective left out was boyish.
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 Not the round face, no. Boyish. But it's also amazing that the article also had the runners-up. Not the runners-up, but the previous winners.
Oh, right.
Of Sexiest Man Alive. And for last year, it was Bashar al-Assad. For 2010, Bernie Madoff.
Bernie?
And
you go, Bernie.
The year before, the writer is the entertainment editor of The Onion, Marissa Blake Treble. And so the other winner was her husband, Herman Treble.
Seems fair.
One question, mm-hmm. I think maybe for the third time, but what the heck. Among all the STAN countries, which is the largest territorially?
Kazakhstan.
I told you it's the third time. Happy Christmas.
All right, thank you very much, Josh. All right. I did a little research today, and I came up with this. What are the five most successful films of all time? In other words, I'm talking about financially, with Christmas in the title. What are the five most successful films of all time with Christmas in the title? I'll give you each a guess.
Silence.
Yeah, I'll start with one of the Christmas carols.
Yes, okay. One of the Christmas carols.
Which one?
The last one. I think Jim Carrey was in the
okay.
did that one. Yeah, 2009.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yes. All right. So there's your. Those are your two.
Okay.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas is number one at $260 million. A Christmas Carol, the latest one, is $137 million. What are the other three? So again, I'm looking for the five most successful feature films with Christmas in the title. We have two. We're still looking for the other three. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134.
Did you want to guess? With a little assistance from our friend here in the studio, A Christmas Story.
No.
Oh.
That was not a big success when it first came out. I mean, it was a modest success.
It became a cult hit. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks anyway.
Blame her.
She tried. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, is that me?
It is you.
Excellent. This is Lisa from Minneapolis.
Oh, hi, Lisa.
Hi. And Rudolph, or Rudolphina.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Antlers.
Right.
The male lose their antlers before Christmas.
Very good. Mid-December, huh?
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the female reindeer don't drop their antlers until spring when their calves are born.
Right.
Wow.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
That's it. Very good, though.
Very good for Minneapolis. You must have
a lot of reindeer around there, I think. Right?
Exactly. They're flying over here all the time.
Thanks,
everybody. Great show.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yes. Ed, how are you?
Good.
Very good. Okay, so this man who used a gun last week to kill all of this beautiful children, he used a gun or a rifle. It's called Bushmaster. What is a Bushmaster? It's referred to after something who called Bushmaster.
Well, I mean, it's a semi-automatic...
No, but it referred to, let me give you a hint, to a creature.
A bush... Why is it actually use it? Why they use that name, that word?
No. I know they use the name just after the creature, but what creature is it?
A Bushmaster, oh...
Oh, yeah. Is it
a deer?
No,
a deer of some kind.
No.
Hmm.
You don't.
So they make it seem more harmless.
This is not a great foundation for
a
question.
I mean, the word Bushmaster really it is more or less like lethal. You know, this thing kills very quickly.
Yes.
So
we don't know.
I give you a hint. What do you think he can bite you and kill you pretty quickly?
Rattlesnake.
Exactly. It is some kind of rattlesnake.
Okay. I see. Okay.
Very, very good. All right. So the second question is, we have rivers, which are very interesting to be able. So I'll give you a description of a river, and if you answer it, okay, if you don't, we'll leave it to the audience. The longest one, the longest river in the world. That's the easy one. Everybody gets
The Amazon.
Amazon.
No.
Nile.
The Nile, of course. 4,000.
Of course.
Okay.
You forget who you're talking to here.
How about the largest? By largest, I mean by the biggest amount of water.
Also the Nile.
No.
The Nile is the answer to all of these, I think.
The Amazon.
Amazon. Okay. The three are more interesting. Okay. The shortest. It's only 200 feet.
Shortest river?
You asked us this. Somebody asked us this
right,
once.
But that's really interesting.
Oh, you said the third time.
There's one in Oregon or California called like the Little Snake.
Very good in Oregon. I'll give you the answer for that. The Deer River in Oregon. Okay.
Right.
The narrowest is only 10 inches. But it's very long. It's about 1,000 miles and it's fairly deep and it's in China.
Okay.
No, we don't know that.
Okay. How about the widest? Is in Argentina, 65 miles wide. That you should be able to know.
It's not like connected to the Rio de la Plata or something.
It is the Rio de la Plata. Yes, it's part of the Rio de la Plata.
All right.
So the only one we have left is the one in China. Maybe somebody came to the audience. One last question, though. There is AIDS is coming back, unfortunately. One of the worst countries as far as advances of AIDS is India. But there is about 12 countries which have very low level of AIDS, hardly very, very few cases of AIDS. All of these 12 countries have one thing, 11 of them have one thing in common. One does not. 11 of the 12 countries have one thing in common. What do you think it is?
All women.
Common.
No.
And this relates to why they have a low AIDS rate?
Yes.
One thing in
it
common.
It must have to do some with the custom or maybe something else.
I don't know. Early age education?
No, you can't do that. with, okay, they tend to be more conservative as far as, of course, having sex with, you know, open sex or whatever, that the, should I give it to you or should I leave it to the audience?
Go ahead, give it to us.
Give it to you?
Yes.
Yeah, the Muslims. The only one that's not is Mongolia, believe it or not, mostly. Even in Europe, you have Albania and Bosnia. They all have very little amount of AIDS. But not all Muslim countries have low AIDS. You have Tunisia and Algeria have higher level of AIDS. So most of the 11 are Muslim country. Last question is this for a biblical thing. This biblical man, in order for him to get admitted in Egypt, he introduced his wife as his sister. Do you know who is the biblical man?
Introduced
he could not go in Egypt as married man.
Right.
Because that time Egyptian had problems. Do you know which
Was it Abraham?
Of course.
Thank you. Of course.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you, guys. Great show.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Part of the Christmas spirit.
Yeah. No,
he's all
Christmas
over the map, isn't he?
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah.
Where are we? Jerry, it's your turn, I think.
Okay. The oldest man in the Baseball Hall of Fame recently died at 95. Who is it? Who was it?
So he was the oldest living guy until he died.
Yeah.
Dom DiMaggio.
Right. And he was not a player.
He's not a player.
Oh.
He was an announcer.
I'm not telling you any more than that.
How about Ernie Harwell?
No, that's a good guess, though.
Yeah.
Very good guess.
Wait a minute. Was that the guy who was the one who was the head of the Players Union?
Oh, Marvin Lewis. That's another good guess.
No, he was not in the Hall of Fame.
That's
famously not in the Hall of Fame.
He should be in the Hall of Fame.
He should be, but he's not.
The owners don't like him.
Yeah.
okay.
Who's the oldest man in the Baseball Hall of Fame who recently died at 95 and he was not a player?
Was he a manager?
I'm not telling you any more than that.
How about Harry Callis?
No. He's not an announcer.
Okay.
Not an announcer.
And so he's an owner. He's an owner or a manager would be the two types. Or a...
All right.
And I don't think any reporters.
Branch Rickey.
No, he died quite a while ago.
Long dead.
All right.
That's a good one. Somebody out there will get that.
Yeah, okay.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 at 415-841-4134. Actually, we are past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered. You don't have to repeat the last one, Jerry, but whatever else.
Okay, Superman's mother was known as Lara Lor-Van. What did she, and on Krypton, what was her her occupation? And?
Homemaker.
No.
And
I think that
Planet is... Planet Baker.
I think that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Mike, two questions are
about... No, it isn't. Oh, yeah, we asked.
We got the Rudolph.
We got the reindeer. Okay.
The movie White Christmas was nominated for only one Academy Award. What was it? And what famous singer recorded Rosemary Clooney's voice on the album soundtrack that came out for the movie?
Debbie Reynolds?
No. Another good guess.
Okay.
Sexier than Debbie Reynolds.
Wow.
If possible.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Doris Day. That voice is too recognizable.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Doris Day.
But sexier than Debbie Reynolds. Okay.
Sexy.
I'll give, now that you say that, it's odd that I don't think of Rosemary Clooney's voice being like this other singer's voice, who has a very distinctive
voice. Clooney has a very kind of a slight husky sound in it, and it'd be hard to find her.
Well, you'll see when you see it. We'll all go home and listen to it. Somebody out there will know.
All right.
Okay.
Somebody will get it.
Okay.
Who is the only Academy Award-winning actor to have ever played Santa Claus in a film? Yeah. Who is the only Academy Award-winning best actor to have ever played Santa Claus in a film? So don't say Edmund Gwynn, because it wasn't Edmund Gwynn. That was Best Supporting Actor.
Do you want to tell us when he played Santa Claus?
This was in the last 30 years.
All right.
Okay. And what are the... I have a list of the five most successful feature films with Christmas in the title. The five most successful feature films with Christmas in the title. So far we have How the Grinch Stole Christmas and A Christmas Carol, one of the versions of it. What are the other three? Okay. And what was I going to say? Yeah, okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
This is Bart, San Francisco.
Hi, Bart.
I have a guess, a wild guess, about the only Academy Award winning Best Actor to play Santa Claus in a film.
Yes.
Was it Art Carney?
It was Art Carney. Very good.
I don't remember the name of the film, but it was something about some sort of industrial development was threatening Santa Claus's domain, and I don't remember the name of the film.
Yeah, it's The Night They Saved Christmas.
That's it.
Wow.
Very, very good. I'm glad you got that.
And what was his Academy Award for?
For Harry and Tonto.
Great movie.
Oh, thank you.
Good job. Thanks a lot.
That's good.
All right. Lori, I think it's your turn.
All right. I have two more continuation White Christmas questions. Bing Crosby sang White Christmas in White Christmas and Holiday Inn. He also sang it in one other movie. What was it?
He did.
Yeah. And then somebody, this is another obscure, wonderful fact here. One of the dancers who accompanied Rosemary Clooney in a dance scene in White Christmas later on was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for another musical role. Who was it?
Only nominated.
Only nominated.
Sid Charisse?
You know what? I'm not going to say he was only nominated. He might have won.
Was it George Chakiris?
It was George Chakiris.
Yeah, because he was in a bunch of films around that time.
Yeah.
He was in that Marilyn Monroe in Diamonds Are Girls' Best Friend. Oh. He was in the background in that.
Very good. Give yourself a bell on that. Yeah, okay. And so what other movie did Bing Crosby sing White Christmas in besides Holiday Inn and White Christmas?
Could I ask this? Is the movie he sang it in, is it later than White Christmas?
You know, I think it's earlier, but you'll know better than I am.
So it's got to be between Holiday Inn and White Christmas.
Yes, I think so. But the year would matter. I didn't write down the year, so that's
a big movie or
no,
kind of
smaller than less known than either of those two, except to Dana probably.
So is it like a mostly serious film? Maybe sang a song or two, like Little Boy Lost or something like
not
that.
Not Little Boy Lost.
What movie did he sing Swingin' on a Star?
The
Twain.
Going My Way.
Was that right?
Is it Going My Way?
Going My Way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going My Way?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. All right.
We'll leave it out there.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
For Christmas feature films, how about Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yes.
Oh.
Very good.
Very good.
Good.
And a question.
Yes.
We know that Dickens wrote A Christmas Story. What Christmas story did Shakespeare write?
Oh,
not A Winter's Tale. No, it's not it.
I was going to say it, but I don't. That's not. You mean it's set around Christmas, or it's about? It's not about Christmas specifically, is it?
The title.
The title has Christmas in it.
No, he didn't. He didn't have a.
Not the word Christmas. It's about Christmas.
It's about Christmas. And it's not a play.
A play, yes.
Oh, it is a play. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And the title refers to Christmas, Christmas indirectly.
I'm sure we're missing something very
And it's not a winter's tale.
Yeah, it has something to do with the 12 days of Christmas.
12th night.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, of course, yes.
Very good.
Very good.
Comes back to haunt us. Yeah,
that's so obvious.
I knew it wasn't a Midsummer Night's Dream.
Long season. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
All right, with your kind permission, I'm going to ask two questions because they're both Christmas and I need to use them up here.
Shelf life.
Exactly. What is the best-selling toy this Christmas?
Oh, gosh.
It is not electronic, okay? So, what is the best-selling toy this Christmas? This is according to Amazon.
It's something you would have to be 8 years old to know or be a mother of an 8-year-old.
This is for a relatively small child.
But is it has it been around a while?
The basic fundamental behind the toy has been around for a long, long time.
But I don't think of any trendy choice like Cabbage Patch Doll or anything
this year. It's quite a basic toy.
Oh, it is? This is not its first year.
Like a top or a...
Yeah, it's a very basic kind of toy.
It's in that genre.
It is not electronic. It is just a basic toy.
Has it been reconfigured to be,
From what I read about it, it does not sound particularly reconfigured, but.
I wonder why it would suddenly become
popular. It's the kind of toy that I might have had and you might have had Lori might have had.
A stick.
It's just slightly more elaborate than that.
There are some yo-yo. Good sticks.
Yo-yo.
No, not a yo-yo. It is the best-selling Christmas toy The best-selling toy this Christmas. Okay.
Is there some reason why it is, even though it's a classic toy?
And it's because it's a classic toy, because it's one of those toys that never goes out of style.
So it's probably always a good seller. Is that it's not like it's obscure?
Well, this is like a new, well, it's a new product made out of an old idea. So, but it's a very basic
paddle
idea.
On a ball, whatever that's called.
Yeah, no.
What's the name of it? What is the name of that thing?
It is something that one person can do.
Paddleball,
I guess. Yeah,
paddleball.
Okay.
Now I'm going to give you lyrics from four Christmas songs. I just want you to tell me the name of the song.
All right.
Okay. Number one, and wait till I get done, please. Number one, through the years, we all will be together. Number two, in the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. Number three, when we finally kiss goodnight. And number four, please have snow and mistletoe. All right, again, these are pulled lyrics from different Christmas songs. Number one, through the years, we all will be together. Number two, in the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. Number three, when we finally kiss goodnight. Number four, please have snow and mistletoe. And I'll give you each one guess.
Okay, well, the first one is through the years is, of course, have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Correct.
And the third one, when we finally kiss goodnight, it's let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Very correct. Good.
Very good. Good job. All right.
All right.
So leave the other two out. And
fun. Yeah, you got the others, I think.
Let's go to a call.
Before we start singing.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hey, Thomas.
So, there wasn't actually a movie called White Christmas, was there?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's not on your list?
No, it was extremely successful film, but it nowadays when tickets cost so much more, these other ones are
so
made more.
My obscure ones like Christmas in Connecticut and Christmas in July don't work.
No.
Mm-mm. Well,
not when movie tickets were 10 cents a piece.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Though, if I recall, White Christmas was like the biggest hit of the 50s, almost.
Yeah.
So, but no.
But even in today's dollars.
Not in today's dollars.
So these are really modern movies, huh?
Yeah, the other two are within the last 15 years. Well, maybe a little slightly more.
So, and they have Christmas in the title.
They do. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Yes.
Oh, this is a very playful program tonight.
Oh, thank you.
And
that's a compliment, right?
I guess it's a compliment. I shouldn't say thank you.
We're a playful group here. Yeah.
Are being very inventive also. Oh, yeah. I'm Shan, your itinerant poet.
Yes.
Local itinerant poet.
So you don't wander very far then.
You'd be surprised. The telephone doesn't.
Yeah, all right.
Here's the question. I'm updating an old riddle. And I'm talking about what is black and white and red all over.
And this is a new answer.
This is, you can tell us the old one because it's very common.
Newspaper.
Quite right. This is a new one.
The problem with that is the newspapers are not read all over anymore, so that doesn't work.
Yeah. So
what is
the new version of what is black and white and red all over?
Okay,
so this is a new answer.
A riddle of some kind. Let's see.
Is this a political punchline?
No.
This is a product that you're looking for?
No. It's a creature because we're talking about reindeer and other things.
So there used to be a version with a zebra involved. Is that true here?
There is one. That's not the one I have in mind, but do you know that one?
Well, it was like a bloody zebra or something like that.
No. How about actually, that one is a sunburned zebra.
A sunburned zebra, okay.
Oh.
But this is a different one.
Does this involve a skunk?
No.
Okay.
Black and white and all over. I don't think we know.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, well,
because I made it up, but here it is. What's black and white and red all over? You don't know?
No.
Here it is.
What is it?
It is a very embarrassed panda.
Okay. Good one.
All right.
Thank you
so
much.
Good one.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Good one.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Sparky and Matty. How are you all doing?
Good, thank you.
All right. Jerry, question. The oldest Hall of Famer who passed away, that's Lee McPhail.
Very good. Baseball executive
right.
of the Yankees the owner, and
think,
many other teams.
Yeah. The Yankees, amongst other things.
Great.
Dana, what was that second lyric that you had? That
In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas.
Silver bells.
Yes.
Thank
Very
you.
Nice. Correct.
All right, I have a
With
question
a
for you whilst we're on the subject of White Christmas. And I was going to save it, Dana, for the X Gathering, but I'll use it now. What the heck?
All right.
The original recording of White Christmas, I read this in a site called All Music. Who played drums on that? It was like a 1942 recording.
Like drums on it? The drums are not particularly evident on
there. There were brushes on there. That's why they were so subtle.
Is this a famous drummer or a different musician?
Buddy Rich?
No.
Not a famous drummer.
It was a famous drummer, yes.
How about Gene Krupa?
No.
Louis Belson?
No. In fact,
those are the only three famous
drummer and band leader, and it seems so.
Drummer and band leader. I don't remember. Think of
Chick Webb.
No,
Buddy Rich had his own.
Rich had his own band.
Yeah, Belson did too.
A drummer and a band leader. A drummer and a band leader later on.
Yeah, in fact, he was a popular drummer, percussionist, band leader in the 40s.
Oh, Louis Jordan?
No.
Hmm.
And it was kind of he kind of kept it just playing brushes and not an entire arsenal of instruments.
The '40s. Who had a big band? It was a drummer. I'm sure we're missing a bunch.
Brushes, yeah.
And he had a big band. You say?
Yeah.
Uh huh. Well, there are so many guys that I don't know.
We named all the big names. I think.
I don't know. Well, we haven't.
Xavier Cugat.
Nope.
He played the violin. We don't know.
Buddy Bregman.
It was Armstrong Lindley Jones.
Oh, I don't know him.
Don't know
him. Yes, right. That's Spike Jones.
Oh, okay. Oh, he did
very
know.
Good.
Very
yeah,
good.
He wasn't drunk. Yeah.
Spike Jones that's played on White Christmas. Huh? That's a great question.
He was on White Christmas.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
I didn't know his real name. That's great.
Yeah, we're done.
All right, thank you.
Very good.
That had kind of a double whammy.
Yeah.
And let's see. Jerry, you have something you want to throw in quickly?
I guess I can.
All right.
I don't hate to waste them.
You can throw it to Lori if you don't want to.
No, I definitely want to, of course.
Thanks.
What planet has 42 years, one guess each, of course, what planet has 42 years of constant summer followed by 42 years of dark winter?
42 years.
And why? Yeah.
Constant summer.
Constant summer. Where's Eid when we need him?
Don't encourage him.
Question, yeah, really.
He'll be back. He'll be back. He's got 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Uranus.
Yes. There How you did go. You guess that?
Well, I know that it has some weird astronomical and astrological things going on.
Yeah, it's due to the unusual almost 90-degree tilt as it orbits the sun.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's the Dom DiMaggio of planets.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. All right, I'll let you ask a quick question.
All right. In the song you just asked about, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, there's a key line in it that when Frank Sinatra recorded it, he asked the Hugh Martin to change. What was the line and what did it get changed to?
Wow.
And both lines are very famous.
That's a great question, too.
Yeah.
Should have asked it earlier, but I'd never know anyway.
We have a few minutes. You might.
I don't know. I can't think of the lyrics that well. He asked him to change it.
Yeah.
And he changed it to
I
this.
Can even say the reason. He said he thought it was too depressing of a line, and he wanted a more upbeat line.
Oh.
And the line is kind of a depressing line, and the new line is kind of upbeat.
And it's from Have Yourself.
Yeah. And when Sinatra made a Christmas album in 1957, he called up Martin, and he said he would put the song on his album if he changed it. And semi-reluctantly, he did, because he wanted to be on a Frank Sinatra album.
Yeah. Hmm, I'd think about that.
Yeah, it's a good line.
Hugh Martin wrote the lyrics.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And Hugh Martin talked about this when he was interviewed on Fresh Air.
Interesting guy, yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is it me?
It is you.
I have two guesses for the person who dubbed for Rosemary Clooney.
Yeah.
Was it Patti Page?
No, it wasn't Patti Page.
Singing
Julie
Rage.
London?
That's a great guess. Yeah. It wasn't the wonderful
She was
Julie
sexy,
London.
But she was too too sultry for
yes.
that
yeah,
song.
Yeah, it wasn't
yeah.
quite this sultry. Good, great guesses. You're right in the right era.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. Who was that blonde-haired singer, Jerry, though? She was big on Rick. She was very attractive in the early 50s.
Oh, I know who it is, I'll bet. Joe Stafford.
Another good guess.
Oh, that is a good guess. Yeah.
And they sing a little.
They are sort of. She could dub it about anybody. Yeah. She has such a pure voice.
Martha Tilton.
No.
Not too early.
All good guesses. Yeah.
And
I forget. You're asking a blonde singer from the 50s?
Yeah, slim, blonde, nice, very nice voice.
All this is true of this person. Slim, blonde, sexy.
Gogi Grant. I don't know. She was dark. She was dark. Kitty Callan.
No. Joy? No, not Joy. I'll think of it in a second.
Judy or Jody? The Jody?
No. Jay? Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Bill from Daly City.
Hey, Bill.
Dubbing for Rosemary Clooney, was it Peggy Lee?
It was Peggy Lee.
Was it really Peggy Lee?
Yeah, very good. How'd you know that?
I've just suddenly become interested in her and been buying a lot of her music.
Yeah, so. That's a terrific.
Well, she was blonde and good-looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think of her singing like Rosemary Clooney. So
no, not at all.
Uh-uh. Yeah.
And I have another answer for an Academy Award-winning actor who plays Santa Claus, Billy Bob Thornton. He won for Sling Blade, and he played Bad Santa.
Very good.
But he didn't win for Best Actor.
It was the real Santa Claus, but it was a Santa Claus.
He didn't win the Academy Award for Best Actor, though.
Oh, I thought he did.
He did win an Academy Award, I think, for the short version of Sling Blade, when they made it into a short first, and then they later made it into a feature film, but no.
Boy, that's awfully close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Half a bell, man.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Sling Blade was a short?
It was a short film first. Huh. Yeah.
And he was in it?
I think so, yeah. Huh. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
And wondering whether the best-selling children's toy is Legos.
It is not Legos, but it's certainly something basic.
Okay. So I have a totally non-seasonal but current events question. Well, you may have discussed last week when it was more current. Norman Woodland died within the last 2 weeks, and he invented something that we see almost daily.
That's the guy that invented the barcode?
That's the guy who invented the
barcode. Yeah, I did hear that.
So do you know what the first barcoded product was?
You had that.
It was gum. Chewing gum.
Chewing gum. Exactly. Yeah.
You guys are up on the current event.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
All right, we're going to end it a minute or two early, so we better clean up here. What do we got?
Superman's mother was a librarian on Krypton.
Librarian, a public library.
Yeah, and his fines for his overdue books, tremendous.
Marion the librarian.
Bing Crosby sang "White Christmas" in "Blue Skies." That was his other movie that he sang it in.
Right.
The Academy Award nomination for "White Christmas" was for a song, and it wasn't "White Christmas." Of course, it was for "Count Your Blessings. And it lost to "Three Coins in a Fountain."
Right.
Sinatra asked Hugh Martin to revise this line. "Until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow." Oh. And he changed it to "Hang a shining star upon the highest bough."
All right.
Oh. Very nice little symmetry.
That's
to
good.
That
I've
question.
Heard the other one. Yeah. Version too.
Let's see. The only lyric we had left was "Please Have Snow and Mistletoe," which is from "I'll Be Home for Christmas." The five films, the five most successful feature films with Christmas in the title: How the Grinch Stole Christmas, A Christmas Carol, Four Christmases, which is just a couple years ago, Nightmare Before Christmas, and now I think this is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh.
So if we did not get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight is Jerry Nachman, and from Diablo Valley College, Lori Fisher. Thank you very much, Lori.
I've been
your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Kevin for handling the board and phones. Oh, the Oscar-winning sound. We got that.
Oh, we did?
Art Carney.
Yes. Oh, Art Carney. Yes. Yes, I'm sorry.
So we hope you have a wonderful Christmas holiday out there. As I say most years, please remember that there is no wisdom greater than kindness. So please make note of that and use it to the fullest over the Christmas vacation. And we're going to end with a little bit of music. So thanks, everybody. We'll be back next week. Have a wonderful Christmas. Bye-bye.
Heartbeat light.
next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yule.